Speaking on this program is Curtis Cates.
Thank you, Brother Noah. Mine is a very wonderful topic, the life bringer. I think that indicates, first of all, that there is death. By the very nature of the topic, Christ is the life bringer. Sin is heinous. It is the destroyer of mankind. It's the enormous enemy of each of us. The Bible says that sin is lawlessness. It's transgression of the law of God. 1 John 3:4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Sin originates in the heart. Christ discusses that. Matthew 15:18-20, where it talks about that those grievous sins come forth from the heart. James 1:13-15 says that every man is drawn away or sins when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And, of course, that lust conceives, and then sin takes place, and then death takes place. He is separated from God. Sin is rebellion against God. Galatians 6:7-8, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he soweth to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If he soweth to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. That's the pay. And of course, the free gift of God, it is eternal life. That is through His grace. But what you earn through sin is death. Separation from God and eternal separation if a person continues in that condition. Because in Habakkuk 1:13, thou art of a purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. God cannot be in the presence of sin. So that if sin is in our lives, God has to be separated from us. And it's our sin which separates between us and God. The justice of God demands the punishment of sin. And of course, we find that God is pure, and He is all just, and the penalty must be paid. And that penalty is death. And so that's the reason why Paul said in Romans 1:32 concerning those heinous crimes there, that those who commit them are worthy of death, Paul said. All who have reached the age of accountability, sin. Romans 3:9-12, and especially verse 33, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were separated from God. Isaiah 59:1-2, your sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you. All right, now, in 1 Corinthians 15:22-21-22, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all are made alive. And so those who are in their trespasses and sins are dead spiritually. Ephesians 2:1-3, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Sin persisted in not only separates from God and has separated from God, but it will damn one soul in hell in ultimate death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. 2 Thessalonians 1:6-9, seeing it is a righteous thing for God to recompense tribulation to those who trouble you, it's righteous for Him to punish those who trouble you. And to you who are troubled, it is righteous for Him to recompense rest. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall suffer everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. And so the blackness of eternal separation from God is in store for all of those who sin and who persist in that sin. In Revelation 21:8, all liars and others will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Matthew 25:30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he says also that the wicked shall go into eternal destruction, but the righteous into life everlasting, verse 46. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether good or bad. In Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. In John 5:28-29, the hour shall come in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth, those that have done righteous unto life, those who have done wicked unto the death. In James 5, verses 19 and 20, we find that when a person restores one who has erred from the truth, he shall save a soul from death. And so if we're sinners, we are dead. Now, men cannot bring themselves to life who are dead. Just as life comes only from life, spiritual life can come only from life in the spiritual world. A dead corpse cannot revive itself. You will not go out to the cemetery and see those corpses coming out of the grave. It's impossible for them to do so. A spiritually dead corpse cannot come out of the grave in and of itself. You and I who have sinned are separated from God unless we're redeemed by the blood of Christ. And we cannot give life unto ourselves. Now Paul said, 1 Timothy 5:6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And so the person who is in sin is in spiritual death. Now some diseases will cure themselves. Sometimes people go to the physician and the physician says, you just let it run its course. I went to the physician one time with poison ivy, had a terrible case of it. He said, if I treat it, it'll last about 10 days. If I don't treat it, it'll last about a week and a half. Well, some diseases will cure themselves given time. But the disease of sin can never cure itself. It must have a remedy. Even one sin cannot cure itself. In James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet shall offend in one point is guilty of all. I think about the wonderful ingenuity of man and how brilliant an intellect he has. When Job was questioned by God, God said, essentially stand on your own hind legs. You're made in my image, and you act like a man. Be mature and answer these questions. I think about how wonderful man's intelligence is, and how that we have found many cures for grievous diseases. We have put a man on the moon. We have searched the vast reaches of science by the telescopes, visual telescopes, photographs that we use in those visual telescopes, and also the radio telescopes. But my friends, though man has harnessed the river, and though he has harnessed the power of the atom, and can destroy vast amounts of this earth, he cannot come with the power to save one soul. Not a single, one soul or one person from sin, not one single solitary sin. After the friends had thought they had all the answers, and Job had argued with them through three rounds of discussion, we find that the conclusion was on the part of Job, the question, where can true wisdom be found? Job 28. It cannot be found in the land of the living, he says. And though man is so smart, he does not have true wisdom. And he says the only place you can get it is to turn to God. He's the one that can give you true wisdom. The only one. Jeremiah 10:23, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Romans 1:18 and following, when they abandoned knowledge of God, it always ended when they went to human philosophy, to vain reason and vain speculation. And so all such efforts are vanity. Man cannot pull himself up by his own bootstrap. Sin is terrible in its effect and in its grasp. And the terrible thing also is that the longer a person is in sin, the deeper the fangs sink into the heart, and the harder it is for one to be rescued from the tentacles, those deadly tentacles of sin. And sin, if it is not arrested, is terminal. If it is not healed, it is fatal. If it is not treated with its only remedy, it is ravaging. Sin is so deceitful also that many times people think that they're spiritually healthy. But truly, they are near death itself. They are indeed in a crisis. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12, those people who receive not the love of the truth, God sent them a strong delusion, and He does that so that they might believe a lie and be damned. They thought that they were righteous. They thought that they were all right. But my friends, they were on the brink of eternal destruction, and that's where they are, no doubt. And so we must go to the Word of God. We must not be like the Laodiceans who thought themselves to be have everything and rich and they were well clothed and so forth. But really they were poor and wretched and miserable and blind and naked. And so we must look beyond ourselves for a cure. Christ is the only cure. He is the only life bringer. Christ was sent by God to bring life. John 17:3. We find, and this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. The blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament could not take away sin. Hebrews 10:4. The law of Moses could not give spiritual life. Hebrews 7:19 and Hebrews 8:7. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And so these people who lived under the law and thought that they could be justified by the law and became legalists of a rank sort, of course, as the Pharisees did, really could not have life eternal. In Hebrews 9:14, we find that Christ had to offer Himself through His own Spirit, I think He's talking about there, to bring us life, to purge our conscience from dead works, to serve the living God. The Old Testament tells us that there would be true fountains of living water opened up. For instance, in Isaiah 12:2-3, speaking of Jehovah, Isaiah wrote, "For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." In John 7:37-39, we find that the Scripture is quoted there by Jesus Christ. "As the Scripture hath said, from within Him that is Christ shall flow rivers of living water. Thus the invitation of Christ, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." You remember that Christ's assurance was to the woman at the well, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be in him a well springing up into everlasting life," John 4:14. And so Christ is that one who is the life bringer. He is the only source of spiritual life. He says that in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In John 6:35, He said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never thirst." He's the water of life, He says. "And whosoever shall come unto me," or "never hunger, whosoever cometh unto me shall never thirst." In John 6:68, Christ said that "I have the words of eternal life." In John 6:63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And so Christ is our life, and those risen with Christ consequently shall appear with Him in glory. Colossians 3:1-4. Since Christ is the resurrection, since He is the life, "He that believeth on me," that is Christ, He said, "though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." John 11:25-26. "And this is the record," John says, "that God hath given us eternal life, and the life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." 1 John 5:11-12. The real necessity of life, that which is necessary for us to live spiritually, is the Word of God. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. Thus we must hunger and thirst after righteousness. Matthew 5, verse 6. We find that this is one of the Beatitudes. You remember that Christ was trying to prepare those Jews, the Pharisees and others, to receive the gospel of Christ. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That is, you're going to have to be humble enough to realize you do not have the answer. And you must bow in submission to my word. And then he says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You don't believe you already have it. You have to receive it. And those are the ones who are blessed by Christ. Christ is the life bringer. Why? Because he paid the penalty for sin. The penalty, as we've already indicated, for sin is death. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, we're separated from God. Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. Then we find that James 1, when sin hath been brought forth, it bringeth forth death. Ezekiel 18, 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. If we turn to Genesis 9, verses 4 through 6, we find that the principle is this, life for life. We find there, whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man must his blood be shed. And so there is life for life. That is the justice, that is the truism, that for life there must be a life given. When man sinned in the garden, and when you and I sin, we commit spiritual suicide. We take our own lives spiritually. Now, what is the justice? What does it demand? It demands that we be eternally separated from God in a devil's hell eventually. Justice demands the penalty of death. And so there's only one remedy for that. And that is to have the Lamb of God be that penalty and to take our place instead of us. The only begotten Son of God, and I still believe that's right. That's what the Bible teaches. John 3:16 was foretold by Isaiah in Isaiah 53 verses 8 through 11. He prophesied that Christ would be cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he smitten. Prophetic perfect tense talking about Christ. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That was a part of his plan. He hath put him, that is Christ, to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, life for life, either I pay my life for my sin, my spiritual suicide, or Christ pays his life for it. That's up to us. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, Christ. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the trouble of his soul, and shall be satisfied. In other words, when God shall have seen the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our souls and our hearts and cleansed us from our sins, that shall satisfy God as far as the penalty is concerned. His justice will have been met. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant, that is Christ, justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That refers back to Genesis 3:15, where the seed of woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Therefore, in order to pay the price, Christ had to become the God-man. He had to become the Son of God. He was not God's Son eternally, but he had to become the Son of God. And the when and the how of the incarnation is the virgin birth of Christ. We find that Matthew 1 says this has happened that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Matthew didn't just apply that. That's what Isaiah was talking about in Isaiah 7:14, when the virgin would conceive and bear a son and would call his name Emmanuel. Hebrews 10, verse 5, a verse that has already been made reference to, says, a body thou hast prepared for me. He didn't prepare a body for me in a special way. I was born as a result of nature. But my friends, he specially, miraculously prepared a body for Jesus Christ in the virgin birth. And therefore, Christ was the only begotten Son of God. Man could not, he cannot pay the price for his own sin. He is going to the grave. You and I, if we live long enough, are going to die. And we cannot come out of the grave. We can't come out of the grave. How many people have you seen come out of the grave? It's easy to go into the grave, but it's hard for us to come out. Therefore, we can't save ourselves. In addition to that, we find that no angel could Christ's place have taken. Even though an angel could take on flesh and be killed, how could he get out of the grave? An angel is not God. He's not deity. He would stay in the grave for eternity. But my friends, it took the only begotten Son of God in order to go into the grave. He became the God-man. He took on flesh and thus could be killed to pay the price for you and me to be the life bringer. But because he is God, he was able to come out of the grave. Romans 1 verse 4 says he is proven to be the Son of God by the power of the resurrection from the dead. I wish we had time to talk about Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, which said that he had to take on the nature of us, flesh and blood, in order that he might be killed and that he might come forth from the grave. But as the God-man Christ shed his blood, he offered up his own life. The life is in the blood. And my friends, when he offered up his own blood in our place, he paid the price, life for life, so that you and I could be redeemed. It is this blood which cleanses us from all sins. He hath washed us and made us white in his own blood. Revelation 1 and verse 5. Wish we had time to talk about Colossians 1, 13 and 14, Ephesians 1, verse 7. But it is this blood which the alien sinner must contact, which cleanses the Son of God, keeps him clean as he keeps walking in the light. 1 John 1, 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He is that perfect Lamb, the only perfect Lamb. He is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world, John says. In Hebrews 10, he took on the flesh so that he might be that perfect Lamb who could pay the price for you and for me. These were the ones who had the blood of Christ on their garments. Who are these that are in white robes? These are the ones that have been cleaned and washed white in his own blood, Revelation 7, 13 through 17. Now, how do I come in contact with that blood? Christ brings life only to those who enter his body, the church of the Lord. All spiritual blessings are in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1, 3. Salvation is only in the body of Christ, the church. 2 Timothy 2:10, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain also the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Redemption is only in Christ. Ephesians 1, 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Reconciliation with God is only in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. One is a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. One can glorify God only in the church. Ephesians 5, 21. Where we find to him to be glory in the church, in heavenly places, world without end. Only is one purchased in the church, only in the church. Acts 20 and verse 28, take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Only is one under Christ, one is under Christ only, in the church of the Lord over which he is head, Colossians 1:18, he has been made head of the body of the church. One is in the name of Christ, only in the body. One contacts the cleansing blood of Christ, only in the body of Christ. In his death where the blood was shed, John 19:34, from his side came forth both blood and water. There is no condemnation, only in Christ. Romans 8, 1 and 2, there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Therefore the penitent believer must be baptized into Christ, into his death where the blood was shed, and there he contacts the blood of Christ and there he is cleansed, Romans 6, 3 and 4. Burial in water is what baptism is. It is baptism into Christ where all spiritual blessings are, Galatians 3:26-27. It is baptism into Christ's body, the church, 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether bond or free, and have all been made to drink of one Spirit. It is baptism into the name of Christ and into the authority of Christ, Matthew 28:18-19-20. That's where salvation is, Acts 4:12. It is baptism into the death of Christ where His blood was shed, which was said. It is baptism into the fellowship with God and with Christ, 1 John 1:3-7. It is baptism which is the new birth into the family of Christ and the family of God, John 3:3-5. It is baptism, that new birth, which puts us into the family. One is a new creature only in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and thus walks in newness of life, Romans 6:3-5. One is also to rejoice in this new life. Christ said, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, Galatians 2:20. But my friends, one can forfeit his life in Christ. The child of God can cease keeping the Word of God. In the time of temptation, he can fall away, Luke 8:13. One who persists in the Word shall never see death, John 8:51. He is to continue in the doctrine of Christ, 1 Timothy 4:1-16. He is to hold fast the Word that is preached unto him, 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. And even the Apostle Paul was concerned every day because he said, I have to buffet my body daily and bring it under subjection, lest after I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, 1 Corinthians 9:27. But the child of God who maintains faithfulness will inherit eternal life with God in heaven. He that loseth his life for my sake in the gospel shall find it, Matthew 10:39. Titus was told by the Apostle Paul that we have hope in eternal life. Titus 1:3. In 1 Timothy 6:11-12, Paul told that great young preacher Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on life eternal. Romans 6:23 says, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life.